So we're jumping right into Q&A. So I think we can do this. Can we put the number up there?
It's there.
It's there. Look, it's like a bunch of tech guys know what they're doing. 360-447-8474. So anybody who's got questions in the room or online, keep sending them to us and we'll jump right into them. This is how we're going to do it too, is to stop everybody from just like jumping up and yelling in person. So send them in and we'll ask them to this guy and we'll see where it takes us. We already got a bunch coming in. We have a ton of just, again, encouraging, wonderful support from all you guys saying that this worked
out.
This
is a lot of new equipment that we're,
yeah.
we're
yeah. Well, I'm
practicing
in this,
today.
I'm in this mood right now, too. I do want to also just off the top say a special, incredible thank yous to Colin and Michael and Ken and the worship team and Noah. But I mean, like, it is, we have been terrified because there are so many new moving. I have been terrified. Everybody else seems cool as a cucumber. I don't know how that's happening. But I have been so scared about so many things, so much new stuff. And the fact that we're here and I think online is a miracle that we need to praise the Lord for. So I'm just so thankful for
thank
all
you.
That.
Yeah. And I'm excited about my if you turn around, the electronic notes. We got two little screens up front, two big screens in the back, so that I don't have to have the podium and I don't have to be doing this all the time and holding my finger and looking down and up and down and up now, because I don't read my notes, but I do keep my place in them. And so, because I give out transcripts and you guys follow along. And this was my first day really practicing with these since we just finally got them working last night. So what's so cool now is we place these based on where I engage. And I engage people in this section and in that section and in that. And then I have the room broken like four and I'm constantly moving around because I don't like to preach at a crowd. I want to preach to people. And so now they just have the notes there. So when I'm preaching, it's like if I need to glance, I can glance. So that's thank you. That's been cool. I'll get used to it, and it'll be wonderful.
Yeah, it will.
I'm excited about that. Okay.
It's cool.
Questions.
Okay, questions. Let me see what I got here. Oh, some interesting. We got a bunch of them. There's 66 words in the LPG and 66 books in the Bible. Coincidence? I think not. Says
66
somebody.
Chapters in Isaiah. Coincidence?
Oh.
Yes.
66 bones in the human. No, that's not right.
66 words in the New King James.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
English.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, in English in the New King James. I didn't count the Greek ones. I just counted the ones that are in the one we read. Don't read too much into the number.
Okay, when we say I am blank, put a word where the blank is, are we unhallowing his name by calling ourselves something? He says we are not using his name to start it by not honoring who he created us to be. Did you follow that?
Uh-uh.
Okay, me neither. If that's you, yeah, maybe. When we say I am blank, you put a word where the blank is. Are we unhallowing his name by calling ourselves something he says we are not and using his name to start it? Okay, I think I get a little bit of this. Yeah, when we say I am blank, put away.
I don't know what the...
I don't know. Like, I think we're like, looking to have
are
like...
Is that like a swear, are they saying? Like a GD? I don't know, but they say and putting his name in front of it.
I think, or anything. Is it by claiming our identity outside of him?
I don't know, but like you're saying, if I'm saying anything that he isn't, you know, I'm so stupid. That's a great example, you know, where we're beating ourselves up. That's unhallowing him because he says, no, you're not.
Right.
You're a child created in my image.
Yeah, they're saying, oh God, I'm so stupid.
Maybe that's what they're saying. Like, yeah. And then on top of it, we're putting his name almost like a seal on it. That would definitely be unhallowing him.
Yes.
Anything that isn't simply God honoring is God dishonoring.
Right. I don't think
there's neutrals.
Yeah,
I don't think in this world he created it where you can just skate through a lot where it's not good or bad with me.
Right.
It's like, no, hot or cold.
Yeah.
You skate on that neutral ground.
Yeah. And I really liked, this approach to what sort of... using the Lord's name in vain meant. I thought that was a really good take on the idea that it's just... You're unhallowing it
just,
when you're not giving it its
due reverence. You're
commonizing
it. I'm not a big... I don't get offended by our culture. Because Paul talks about, hey, when I said don't be around, you know, liars and adulterers. And he goes on with this whole list. He goes, I didn't mean the people of this world, for goodness sakes. I meant people in the church that claim to be something, but then they're actually that. Don't hang around the hypocrites. It's like, oh, so I can hang around all the, well, how are you going to get them saved? You know, you just want to make sure they're not influencing you, that you're influencing them. And there's so much in scripture about that. You just see who Jesus chooses to eat with. And so when I'm around people and they're F-bombing this and they're GD and that, I
who
am
are
so,
you hanging out with, Bruce?
Well, your
I
wife.
Know.
I don't know. Wait, that sounded worse. That wasn't supposed to be a nasty joke. So I shouldn't make up jokes without thinking. But seriously, when I'm around people and they're swearing, I couldn't care less about the swear. It's not like, oh, I'm holy. Am I? Because that's like reverencing myself.
All right.
But it commonizes the Lord and anything. And that's why, like when someone drops a GD, I'm less rattled by that than when a kid says, oh, God. Because that's sneaky. That one's affecting in a much bigger way. That one, you know, someone goes, oh, GD this. And everyone goes, oh, you shouldn't say that. Oh, at least we still kind of feel that way, right? Not around the kids. But then the kids say, oh, my God, we're okay with that. It's like, no, don't be okay with that. And so,
so
I was talking about how I kind of cringe at that, I don't really cringe so much at the really bad ones because everyone already kind of gets that you shouldn't say that. So
yeah.
I'm not offended by that.
And actually here, I got a good question to sort of follow up on that. How should we handle somebody who uses the Lord's name in vain? Is it our responsibility to say something?
It's our responsibility to pray for them and to love on them and to ask for opportunity. And then, you know, I've done this in several messages. It's like Jesus compares it to fishing for a really good reason. It's just like fishing. You know, you put the bait out and you wait and quiet and you'll scare the fish. But if they nibble, you put it out there. But in a way, you have to put it out there with your personality in a way that they want to bite. And the analogy breaks down because we're not trying to, well, I guess you are trying to help them die to sin. So killing them with kindness.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's how you help. And if there isn't, you're praying. And if there isn't opportunity, because we come off self-righteous all the time. You know, and that pushes people away. And so, again, I don't care about me being offended. If I'm around people that are just cussing and swearing, I'm not going to say, hey, guy, could you not do that in front of me?
Right.
I'm a Christian. And it's like, oh, that's all the wrong.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and actually, I think, because I like the idea. I think it's good, kind of going back to the idea that kids say it just, you know, flippantly with no motivation, no real meaning behind it and everything. I think that there's some value to the idea of informing people that, you know, an abridged version of this sermon. You can just hand them the sermon and say, this is why. But it's good to know that this is an offense. So do you have any way to, you know, tactfully tell someone, like, just so you know, maybe not to me, but that carries with it this, you know, just intensely.
If they're an extreme personality, maybe. Uh-huh. But no, I think you love on him. You know, what I was talking about today, the way we hallow his name is by showing that he's trustworthy. And so by showing the positive, going on the offensive rather than the defensive, where they're seeing it in your life. And this is how I've handled myself in a lot of public settings. They're not embarrassed to say F this, GD that. So guess what? I'm not embarrassed to say, oh, I was praying last night, or oh, the Lord was good to me this week. And I just say it like, that's my F-bomb. I'm dropping the God bomb and the Jesus bomb of this is my relationship, and I just talk about it. And I treat everyone like they're a believer, even though I know they're not. I speak to them like they are. And as it is really funny how they can see that that's coming at them with a respect.
Let me tell you, I work with a lot of kids, teenagers,
well,
and
I'm
everything.
I'm not talking about kids.
Well,
I'm talking about adults.
I'm talking about humans.
No, kids, no. You just slap them.
That's all.
That's a joke too.
I'm thinking kind about of. The people who are just completely oblivious to it, and I want to gently remind them just
well, see,
of
that.
That
falls in the category of pray for them and pray for opportunity, and then watch for opportunity. And if you feel like hey, you know what? I have a relationship with this person. I've been working with them for a couple of weeks, and I think they now get who I am. I think I could say this, and all of a sudden you're having lunch, and something gets mentioned. It's like, this is the moment, and so you say it. But I still think it's like fishing. You pray for them first. You make sure that your motives are right. Mm-hmm. Then you watch for the right opportunity, because your goal, like, and I think this is what you're saying, your goal isn't to create an environment that is best for you. Your goal is to help them understand something they may be ignorant of that would really be for their benefit. And if that's your goal and you're praying for that, 9 times out of 10, God's going to give you the opportunity to express it, and you express it in a way that is helpful.
Yeah. Okay. Here's
when I was in high school, you know, it used to bother me all the time. No, not all the time, but a lot. I'd go sit down at the table at the cafeteria.
The cool table?
Sometimes. when I sat at the cool table. I'd go sit down at a table in the cafeteria, and there was like 3 different guys who thought this was just the funniest thing because they didn't really like me. And I'd sit down and they'd say, okay, everybody watch your mouth. Virgin Ears is here.
Aww.
And that had nothing to do.
And God was like, yeah, go.
Yeah, and in high school, that was really a nice, you know.
That was so great.
Everyone would laugh, and then they'd all try to swear more. And I never said anything that would give them that impression. I just lived my faith, and they were offended by it.
Isn't that funny?
And then I would laugh along, but inside I think, that really does bother me.
you never notice. It's kind of like your friend's mom's carpet. You just never notice how filthy your own mouth is until you're around somebody who doesn't have one. And that's why I think people are trying to elicit that out of those people. And they just go, let's all do it, and so that we're the right ones and he's the weirdo, because we're all, you know, not the white carpet. Actually, I got a text from Char, who said, Bruce doesn't swear. So what, I lost it, but I think it was asking like the strategies for keeping yourself clean in that way.
I swear sometimes, but it's always to be funny.
That's right.
And it's never the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah. So yeah, you got any strategies for, like, a lot of us just sort of still
back in high school. Yeah, I used to swear back in high school. I remember 8th grade, I started swearing because I thought it was really grown up to
But I
do.
Bet they were like old-timey swears, weren't they? He was like, ah, cripes! We're like, ooh, bad boys.
but I can remember about second year in high school, yeah, probably early sophomore year, maybe it was the freshman, I don't know. I just was so convicted about it and thought, I need to stop this. And so I just talked to God about it almost every day, and it went away. But then, like, I'd get hurt and I'd swear, and so then I started praying to God to help me learn how to not swear when I get hurt. And I tell you, I never hurt myself so many times in about a 2-month period of time. And
I was
in the wrecking yard, right in, it wasn't this, it's the end of that building, which is now gone and replaced by this, but it was right about there. And I was carrying a transmission over to the forklift, and the forks on a forklift.
Transmission over to the, okay, we get it, you're strong.
Yeah, it was a little car. And the forks on the forklift are slightly tilted up, and I didn't realize it, and I'm wearing tennis shoes.
Oh.
And so I walk over, and I put my toes under the fork of the forklift without realizing it, and then I'm just barely carrying this thing, just, and then I throw it on the forks. Smashed my toes. I smashed them all. And I jumped, and I went, oh, ow, 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 I'm not swearing, I'm not swearing, ow, ow, ow. This is the first time I think I've ever done this, and I'm not swearing. Thank you, Lord. Everyone hurt so bad. And that was right there. And that was the last time I ever, that was the first time I didn't swear when I hurt myself, and haven't since.
Oh, right on.
But it was because I decided that was going to be a thing. That's like today. So today when I said, do you misuse his name? Well, don't feel guilty. Just, that has to end.
Yeah. Just, and he'll start stubbing your toes on a daily basis.
Make that end. And Char thinks I'm the biggest weirdo. This is when Char will say, she will say, this is when you make me nervous about what I married. And it's always when she sees me hurt myself really bad. And I hurt myself and I don't react. And I'll say, oh, ouch.
That's broken.
She'll say, what? I go, look, you know, it's some horrible thing. I just did this. And she'll say, this is when I really worry about what I married. I don't react.
You have feelings, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, but it's so funny because I guess it evolved into that.
Let me jump over to Sinner's Prayer. We're just talking about how you were so thrilled that you were at the Sinner's Prayer, and I agree.
Yeah, I think that's just cool. Here's a question. You all, how many of you think it would be cool and right if I had everyone in the church pray it out loud at the end? Anybody think that? Raise your hand. Okay, how many like it if it's just me and whoever is receiving the Lord? Raise your hand.
I don't know.
Oh, everything's got to be split in half, doesn't it?
That's right.
There's no pleasing you.
That helped us not come
I was up. Just curious about, you know, if you like looking at my back of my head and I'm saying it.
Well, I think if you leave it optional, then we have the people who want to pray it with you for others' sake or themselves. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So speaking of that, why is our sinner's prayer not asking Jesus and not even using Jesus' name?
Because I said at the beginning, if you want to receive Jesus Christ into your heart right now, let's ask.
And I think, you know, they're just saying the appeal being made to him. What's it
say? How
does
it begin?
Father God, I think.
Yeah.
Is this a quiz?
No, because now you got me worried. Now I'm thinking, wait, how is it worded? Did I leave out?
You said Father God, but not Jesus. Don't tell him, apparently.
Well, if you want to receive his son, Jesus Christ, into your heart right now. Okay, Father God, thank you for loving me in spite of my sin. Forgive me and cleanse me by the sacrifice of your son.
That's Jesus.
This
so
went
it's in
through
there.
The Pastor John.
It's in there.
This went through the Pastor John thing. And so
right.
I know that this thing is as theologically tight as it can be.
That's right.
He made me change it three times.
That's right.
He goes, well, you know, there's a nuance in this.
That's the Pastor John machine, though. That is a good machine.
Oh, I
to
love
have
that.
Because I don't even realize what I don't realize.
Okay, and cleanse me by the sacrifice of your son. I could say, right. See, I guess I didn't put it in again because I say his name right before. If you want to receive, it's a Jesus Christ. But I could say, by the sacrifice of your son, Jesus Christ, and free me and lead me by your spirit and word. See, I could try to sneak every aspect in as few words as possible. As I seek to trust you and follow you as the Lord of my life. I don't know. Does it need Jesus in there?
No.
Okay. We don't need Jesus in there.
I would like
here.
To go on the record as saying the pastor said, does it need Jesus in there? And the congregation said, no.
I also
this is a red letter day for
us. I also thought it'd be really funny if we stopped that one worship song right before the last word where they keep telling God he's so-so. And you're so-so. You just...
Yeah.
So good.
It's like that song that we have that's you're the defender of the week, and I can't hear it without being like W-E-E-K. I'm like, he's at least the defender of the month over the year.
If not the year.
Okay. Okay, coming back, we might have dealt with this a little bit last time, but this is a good topic from last week, I think it was, regarding fear. We are told to fear the Lord and that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. However, we are also told that there is no fear in love, and perfect love casts out fear. If we are practicing righteousness and aiming for perfect love, can you help make this make sense? I think, we touched a little on
we
that.
We did, and I
little...
didn't. I don't think I emphasized this aspect enough. There are two types of fear. There's reverent fear, and there's scary fear. And last week, we talked about scary fear, that God kind of knows that, you know, I don't want to go to hell, so I'm receiving Jesus. And it's like, okay, that's the beginning of wisdom, you know, just kind of being scared of the things you should be scared of. But we need to work this into a relationship where you have a reverent fear, where it's that, and I last week with a blanket, my dad, old Pops, you can picture Pops, man, he could crawl fast. It just terrified me as a kid. And I just love that. And I didn't fear that I'm going to get hurt. And it's really funny. It's like, why am I so afraid? He's just moving fast and he's so powerful. And it's like, you know, you look at Isaiah today. He sees Jesus. John, we looked at him last week, sees Jesus and they all fall down like they're dead. It's like, you'd get it if you actually saw him. It's just so overwhelming. It's a fearful reverence. And so down here, we can't exactly feel that.
Right.
And so as the more we read his word, we should be growing in two things. One, in this realization of how much he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And how much we don't get that he's doing for us. And then, how scary it's going to be to face him.
Right.
You know, it's the Wizard of Oz. It's like, oh, I want to face the wizard, but I don't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, John.
The perfect love that casts out fear in 1 John is the fear of condemnation.
Right. The fear of condemnation, the fear of punishment, the scary fear. And it doesn't cast out a reverent respect of his power. If anything, it is that respect of his power that helps cast out, brings us into relationship and helps us to realize, oh, then he can protect me and guard me over the scary stuff and will. And so it drives out that initial fear of, a lot of Christians receive him for the wrong reason and then grow into a wonderful, fearful relationship, but respectful.
Right.
Reverential. Like today when he said, if I'm a father, where's my honor? If I'm a master, if I'm the Lord, where's my fear? He doesn't mean, where is my, you're terrified of me and don't want me and, my reverence.
First off, somebody said, you're going to keep your shoes on now? Is that how this works?
Well, we're in the church.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's not really Mr. Rogers anymore.
Okay, I'll take them off just for fun.
Hippie. Oh. Okay. Does listening in prayer, which, by the way, I like this whole idea, too. I like that you, plainly said,
reading
the Bible is prayer.
It's listening prayer. And we're supposed to do that the most.
Right.
Because here's why. That's where we get the answers to our spoken prayers.
Yeah, right.
And so he says, receive every, son of man, receive every word I've spoken into your heart and have ears to hear. To hear what? Me. This is God talking. Me. I want to talk to you. And so when you come to me and ask me questions, there's only one way I can, no, I shouldn't say one way, sorry. There is one big way.
There's one undeniable, clear way.
The loudest and clearest way that I speak to you. Here. Put it in your heart so I can speak. Because, and I've just beat this drum for him, and I will continue. Because just putting it in. Then when you go to God with a question, you've built up your treasury, and now his spirit can work the magic, for lack of a better term, where you're asking a question, and all of a sudden a scripture that you haven't thought of for years comes to mind. It's like, that's the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And you allow God to speak to you through his word, and you're having an actual conversation.
Right. Yeah, and it is magical. We've all experienced that.
But it's only to the degree that you... that's why...
Crack it open and then get amazed.
Yeah, when Paul says... and sometimes we wonder, why is that in the Bible? But when you stick a couple verses together, you go, oh, that's why. He says, hey, if I don't know somebody's language, to me, he's a stranger, and to him, I'm a stranger. You go, okay. But then you put that with Jesus saying, oh, many on that day are going to say, did we not do this? And I'll say, oh, sorry, stranger. I didn't know you. Why? I didn't understand you. You didn't understand me. Right. We're speaking two different languages. And his language is first and foremost the word of God.
Right. So does listening in prayer start with remembering, rebooting what is most true about God and ourselves? Because hope seems to be anchored there. And then they give us Lamentations 3:21. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
And see, you load those things in. And you actually have them in your heart, solid in there. Then when, horrible things are happening and you're going to him in prayer, that's what he's reigning back in your memories. And so I think they make a great point that you begin by reestablishing, remembering, bringing to mind what is true, what is most true. And that's why I think Jesus is just a genius when it comes to, so the first two things, Father, start there. There's a bunch of scriptures. Look at his love for you. Then in heaven, authority, reverence, fear, balance it out. Now, hallow that relationship that is equal parts of this. Praise him, sing to him, worship him with your life. Then we go on to your will be done. You know, before mm-hmm. we ever get to ours, you know, what is the scripture? The really obvious one about seek ye first the kingdom of God and these things shall be added to you. And so it's your kingdom, your will, then our daily bread. Anyway.
Yes. Speaking of bathrooms, as okay. we have it.
We got to wind down.
Yes. And we, yeah. So if you got anything you want to sneak in under the wire here, we'll just read one or two more here. But somebody wanted to say, remember how God blessed his place with bathrooms first in the ark through Maryland's winnings and now beautiful yes. bathrooms in the church from, in the church house with the PPP. How amazing. So we've got bathroom yeah. blessings aplenty. What's the Maryland bathroom story?
That's my mom. We needed bathrooms over there, but we were brand new as a church and didn't have the money it would take to put a whole extension on that thing. And her and dad were taking a road trip and passing through Reno. So they said, hey, let's stop in Reno. Now, whatever you think about gambling, judge them. And so, I'm just telling the story. And so they thought, oh, let's spend a night here and we'll go in one of the casinos. And so she wakes up in the morning early and she says, what time does the casino open? He says, I don't think it ever closes. And she goes, because I woke up with the weirdest feeling, like so strong. There's this one casino, and there's slot, and they've not been in it. She goes, and there's slot machines inside the front door. In my dream, she had, and she says, and I put money in it, and I won the jackpot.
And a bathroom came out.
And she said, and we used it to pay for the bathrooms at the church. Oh, and she boy. Says, and he goes, oh, Marilyn, don't. And she says, but I got to try. And so they go to it, open the door. It's not like in her dream, so it's not like she's a witch. But they open the door, and there are slot machines. And she goes, well, there's the ones by the door. And so she goes and she puts, and they were dime machines, and she puts in three dimes or something, nothing in three dimes. And third time, she hits the biggest jackpot you can on this progressive machine. And I forget, she wins like $30,000 and brings it back to the church and just gave it to the church. Says, you can build your bathrooms. God told me to go gamble. And dad, pops, hated that story.
Yeah, I was gonna say that is a dangerous precedent. Let's just keep that story over there. We're not meeting at the casino after this, guys. Oh boy, that's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, I'm only stating the.
Well,
facts
I can't
what
wait
happened.
To. Where we put the next bathrooms? I don't know why we need them, but I can't wait to see. Yeah, okay, so also let me ask before we wrap it up then real quick, we've been kind of sticking on the Lord's Prayer and hitting it line by line, word by word again. Is that what we're going to do? You know where we're going moving forward.
We definitely are going through it, but it's Christmas time. I might have to do a Christmas sermon. We'll see.
I bet you they'll merge somehow.
Maybe.
It usually happens that way.
Maybe.
Cool. I'm going to say one more time, let me just bring this up one more time because the same person is texting in again saying, shouldn't the name Jesus be in the sinner's prayer? Are you not supposed to be making Jesus your Lord? We are, and it's in there, like for all intents and purposes.
The sacrifice of God's Son, and just so we don't get any more texts like that, I might stick it in there.
Yeah, well, because they say, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, then you'll be raised
from
the dead.
That's true.
Romans 10.
Oh, that's a good point.
So
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Because I say Lord of our life, and I mean Jesus.
Let me be the counter-argument, though, because...
Here, bring that up again. Let's rewrite it.
That's when we start worrying about that literality.
How about this? As I seek to trust you and follow Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. Done.
All right. This is what Q&A is for. That is perfect that we just get it right.
Yeah.
John can only do so much to correct us.
Yeah, I'm really disappointed, John. See, I just shifted that right over. Because in all things, we're trying to have, you know, reach the widest swath. So if that helps us reach a wider swath.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
All right. I think maybe that's probably
a good note to end on.
Yeah, that's a great note to end on.
They got my back.
Yes, indeed. Well, so thank you guys for sticking around. It has been absolutely awesome. We made it through our first real live in-house, all the new stuff happening at once.
Thank you.
And that is a blessing and a miracle. And we just love you guys for sticking it out with us.
I'll tell you what, and because you did stick around, I'm going to go back and, in fact, somebody, go back, make sure there's no one in either restroom. We'll open the doors so that you can see both restrooms. You'll be the only people that get to see both restrooms, yeah. But I want you to see them.
Yes, yes, cool. All right, well, then we'll go do that, and we'll say bye to everyone online. We love you.
Love y'all.
And we'll see you guys soon.
Bye. Thanks.